In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
An elderly lady was well known for her faith and for her boldness in talking about her faith. She would go out onto her front porch and shout, "Praise the Lord!" She happened to live next to an atheist who got very angry whenever he heard her do that. And whenever she shouted, "Praise the Lord," he would go out on his porch and say, "There ain't no Lord." Well, hard times set in on the lady, and she prayed to God to send her some assistance. So she went out on her porch and she said, "Praise the Lord. God, I am having a hard time. Please send me some groceries." And so the next day she went out on her porch, and lo and behold, there was a bag of groceries on the porch. And she said, "Praise the Lord." Well, out jumps from behind the bush her atheist neighbor, who says, "I told you there ain't no Lord. I put those groceries there. God didn't." She began to jump up and down and clap her hands. And she said, "Oh, praise the Lord. Not only did you give me groceries, but you got the devil to pay for them." Praise the Lord. Well, that lady had faith, didn't she? I've had the great blessing throughout my ministry of knowing many people who had that kind of faith, strong faith. In my brief time here at St. John's, I have met people who have that kind of faith. In every person who has strong Christian faith, every person, it started out small, like a mustard seed. But with time and care, it has grown large and overshadows every other aspect of the person's life. All people have faith. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't say that all people have Christian faith. But all people have certain guiding principles that determine the choices they make, that determine how they're going to live their lives and the course their lives take. We all have principles, of course, by which we live our lives, some big, some small. My Aunt Martha, may she rest in peace, grew up in a little town by the name of Grove City, Ohio. She and my mother and their sister, their other sister, and my grandparents were related to about half of the people in town. And everybody in town knew everybody else. She told me frequently when I was growing up, "Don't tell anyone anything that you don't want everyone to know." She put faith in that principle. That's a small principle, but still a principle by which she lived. I'm new here, and I'm just getting acquainted. Tampa's a big city. But Hyde Park is a small town, I think. So don't tell anyone you don't want everyone to know anything you don't want everyone to know. There are many things that become guiding principles in people's lives. Some people's primary guiding principle is the amassing of wealth. Others have as their primary motivation having power over others. For others, it's respect. For others, work. For some, the most important thing is family. For the addict, it's coming up with the next fix. For the alcoholic, the next drink. some guiding principles are good, basically, and are compatible with the Christian faith. Others, not. The most important of the Ten Commandments is the first one. I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods but me. Jesus stated this commandment in a little different way. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And he said there's a second commandment that's like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now these are the guiding principles. These are to be the guiding principles for every Christian. And they provide the only way to true life for every human being. The faith revealed to us in Holy Scripture is that to put anything else as the most important thing in one's life is idolatry and is ultimately destructive, even the good things. Money, power, fame, respect, family, drugs, alcohol, they're all in the same category if they become more important than the love of God. When that happens, that's what we call sin. Wait a minute. Did I just change courses with you? I thought we were talking about faith. Don't you have to have faith before you have love for God? Isn't faith synonymous with belief? The theologian John Macquarie, in his book, The Faith of the People of God, says faith is a total attitude toward life. And although belief is a part of this attitude, its essence is to be seen rather to a commitment to a way of life. It may be the case that when the commitment is made, all the beliefs implied in it are not yet clear. And it's only in following out the commitment that the beliefs come to be fully and explicitly understood. Now that's kind of what I think the mustard seed is. Placing the commitment before you even realize what all it implies. In the letter of James, the apostle says, you believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So when Jesus speaks about faith, he's speaking about a relationship between God and the believer. I just quoted from the letter of James in the New Testament. James is an excellent example of the point I'm making. In Deacon Kathleen's excellent sermon last week, she spoke about how Jesus' own family wasn't particularly supportive of his ministry in Nazareth. Jesus' family actually tried to restrain him from preaching, teaching, and healing. Now, James isn't mentioned in that account by name, but we assume he was part of the family that tried to restrain Jesus from exercising his ministry. Now, James obviously believed in Jesus' existence because he grew up with him. But I think it's safe to say that he didn't have faith in him from the beginning. Even if our Lord Jesus had tried to tell him that he was the creator of the universe, I think that would have fallen on deaf ears. James eventually, though, became an apostle and was the first bishop of Jerusalem. By that time, he knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and he knew him as Lord, and he knew that Jesus was God. He actually gave his own life for him. He died for his faith in the year AD 62. Now that's a mustard seed story, isn't it? In the life of James, St. James. So faith is more than belief. It's a relationship between God and the believer. Think about the most important relationships that you have. What are the characteristics of those relationships? They're loving. They have a foundation of trust. And they require nurturing through spending time with the beloved. Your being here this morning, or being in the viewing audience, is an act of faith. You're spending time with God right here. Or if you're in your home watching, you're spending time with God. You're nurturing your relationship with God. If perhaps you're here for the first time and know very little about the Christian faith, this first small step is an act of faith and could be that small grain of mustard seed that eventually will grow into a large shrub in your life, touching every aspect of your life. As fallen human beings, and we're all fallen human beings, we all have a tendency to make something else the main thing. When we know our commitment to God should be the main thing. But thanks be to God, whenever we do fall, whenever we yield to that tendency of whatever it is, if we confess our failure, God forgives. God grant us to make our faith really the main thing in life. As that mustard seed grows into the largest of shrubs, and our faith becomes more and more the way to life.